1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Something former President Trump said during his X chat with Elon Musk, drawing fire from the United Auto Workers Union. Trump was praising Musk for not giving in to workers' demands.
Hey, I won't mention the name of the company, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay, you're all gone.
That's produced an unfair labor practices complaint from the UAW addressing the Government Employees Union in Los Angeles, Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz.
The only thing those two guys knows about working people is how to work to take advantage of them. That's what they know about it.
A grand jury in Columbus, Ohio, indicted Blendon Township police officer Connor Grubb on murder and other charges in last year's fatal shooting of Takiya Young, a 21-year-old pregnant mother suspected of shoplifting when she attempted to drive away rather than stop to be arrested. Inflation continues to ease. The government says wholesale inflation rose just 0.1% from June to July. This is ABC News. Federal court appearance Tuesday on New York's Long Island ahead of a fraud trial for disgraced former Republican Congressman George Santos.
Santos lost his request that he be able to question potential jurors. Instead, the judge ruled allowing Santos's proposed questionnaire would be very inefficient and that the standard jury questionnaire will suffice. Santos has pleaded not guilty to a 23-count indictment charging him with wire fraud, making false statements to the Federal Election Commission, and identity theft.
ABC's Derek Dennis. Bloodletting at a major Hollywood studio.
Last week, Paramount announced it would lay off 15% of its employees ahead of a planned merger with Skydance, and the cuts started coming Tuesday. Among the biggest blows, the company shutting down Paramount Television Studios, which produces the show Reacher, Interview with the Vampire, the new series Time Bandits for Apple TV+, the limited series The Offer about the making of the movie The Godfather, and more. Paramount is looking to slash around $500 million from its books. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And in New York, I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters say no to two questions to amend the state constitution. Here's Melissa Kay.
The executive branch will retain the sole power to execute all federal funds as it has since 1930. This means when federal funds are directed to the state, the governor has the power to accept them and get those funds quickly to where they are most needed. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Rebecca Cook is the projected winner in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary in western Wisconsin. She was leading by 6 points at last check. Numbers were coming in much slower in the Republican primary in the 8th U.S. House race in northeast Wisconsin, where Tony Weed was up by 4 points. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Crew lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost game one of their 4-game series to the Dodgers last night, the final 5-2, game two tonight. Manager Pat Murphy said he thought his young Brewers team was a little intimidated facing the Dodgers, and future Hall of Famer now in his 17th season, Clayton Kershaw, on the mound.
If you want to be, you want to swim with the Sharks, you got to be willing to step up in these situations and put together, forget about who's on the mound. I mean, and forget about, you know, it's baseball. I just felt like we didn't have the right approach there mentally for situation, but it is their young guys in front of their hometown crowd, and it's Kershaw.
NFL, one of the players who stood out in the Packers' win over the Browns was wide receiver Grant DuBose, who had 5 catches for 66 yards, leading the team in receptions.
Grant had a really good game the other day. Obviously, he made some pretty clutch catches, but his effort blocking was excellent as well.
As Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, a little patchy fog. Temperatures dropping to the upper 50s. At daybreak, our winds will be light. We should see mostly sunny skies Wednesday, highs in the lower 80s. Showers arriving for Wednesday night. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, will be talking about the DNC and the implosion of the GOP. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is primary day in Wisconsin. Make a plan. Go vote. You have until 8 o'clock tonight. It's very, very important. If you're not sure if you're registered, if you have questions about where to cast your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. Everything you need will be there tonight after 8 o'clock. Todd Alba and our news director, Terry Bell, will have a recap as the results start to come in. So that will be across the Civic Media Radio Network starting tonight at 8 p.m. I saw this article in the Cap Times about a month ago, and I think it's so interesting. Shed Farley is the Farley Center Director at the Natural Path Sanctuary Coordinator, and you were featured in this article, Shed. Thank you, first of all, for joining us. Thanks for coming into the studio.
You're very welcome.
About green burials and how green burials are growing in popularity, not just around the country, but even here in Wisconsin. So what was your first foray into this? How did you get involved with this?
So the history of the whole center, the Farley Center and the Natural Press Sanctuary, started with my parents. So in 1983, they moved here from Colorado, which is where I came here from, and lived here a long time, 25 years. On 43 acres of land that they had purchased, and just gorgeous land. And in 2009, Mom died, and she had wanted to donate her body to science. Science did not want her body. Surprisingly enough, my parents were both physicians, and neither of them realized that might be the case. But so the obvious turn, we sat down with my dad and I have 3 brothers. So we all sat down with dad, say, what's next? What are we going to do? He says, we're going to bury her right here. She's lived here 25 years. She loved this place.
Yep.
So we did. It was very easy in Dane County. If you have at least 25 acres of land, you can bury one person. So we did that. We got permission. It was really easy.
Yeah, don't just do this on your own, folks.
Get in your backyard.
I'm just going to say, you know, there are laws you have to follow in regards to things like this.
Right, and we followed them. We got permission, and we buried her in our front yard. So my brother's.
Oh, wow.
Yep, in my parents' front yard, because it's their place.
Sure.
So my brothers and I dug the grave, and we did everything we could, and we all came from out of state. None of us had ever lived in Wisconsin, so that's kind of a thing to remember as we go through this story. So we buried Mom, And then we had to sit down with Dad and say, Dad, what happens when you go? Sure. You're 84 years old now, or 83, however old he was. What are we going to do then? And he says, and obviously he wanted to be next to Mom.
Sure.
But then we had to say, but Dad,
you can't.
We all live all over the country. We're not even going to be able to hold on to the place. So Dad was always a big thinker. He was always just some amazing.
Planning ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so along with this wooded area, Mom was buried in the front yard. And then behind her grave is 25 acres of woods. And then down below, we had, they had, while they were living there, farmers come and use their land. My parents were doctors, not farmers, and they had land. So they opened it up. My parents were very keen on sharing whatever needed to be shared.
Sure.
So, so when we talked to Dad about what's next, he started brainstorming, and he came up with this, a farm program, because we had all these acres of very fertile land, and we already had some farmers on that land. They did, even before Mom died. So he just started developing that, growing from what was already going on. There were some Hmong families who were gardening there.
Had some plots, sure.
Had some plots, and they were early on. And then we had some Mexican farmers come in later, but still before we became the Farley Center. And then Mom died, and then everything came to a head. And the question that we had for Dad is, if we have to sell this place, that'll be terrible. So then he started immediately applying for the license and certification he'd need for the Green Cemetery.
Interesting. Yep.
Wow.
So and his whole idea was that the revenue we pull in from the cemetery will help us fund all the farmers that are there, because we don't charge.
Great.
So he had some equipment that in the beginning he shared with the Hmong farmers. By the way, those Hmong gardeners who would just do that for family, they've been there close to 40 years.
Wow.
Yep. So anyway, he started developing this farm. The cemetery was going to pay for it. Obviously, in the beginning, it wasn't really taking off.
Sure.
It took a lot of time.
Sure.
Because
it's only been within the last decade. Would say.
Maybe
15 years?
2011 is when he got all his certification, not only for the cemetery, but also for the Farley Center, which is a 501(c).
Right.
50C.
But I'm just talking shit about the popularity and the interest in green burials.
Yeah.
That's a relatively recent
thing. It was very unknown. So the first modern green cemetery was developed in 1998, somewhere in North Carolina or South Carolina. I forget where exactly. And by the time Dad came around, there were maybe 15 others.
Okay.
That were
still pretty small.
Pretty small. Oh yeah. Considering that conventional cemeteries, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. So Dad ran the place for 3 years. He had help. He had a couple who Kevin Corrado and his wife Susan Corrado, who managed the office and helped Dad with everything, and actually lived with them. It was actually Kevin Corrado's original idea for the cemetery, and he was really pushed at it. And Dad loved great ideas, so. So that's how it started, is just as a way to utilize the land and keep all the four boys connected to the
farm.
Place.
Yeah. That's wonderful. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the growing popularity of green burials. This is happening all over the country, and certainly there's a lot more increased interest here in Wisconsin. Shed Farley is our guest. He's the Farley Center Director and the Natural Path Sanctuary Coordinator, where they do green burials. Now, according to this article in the Cap Times, Shed, that I found, where I found you, When the cemetery opened, the town of Springdale granted it up to 3,000 burials, with about half of those spaces now pre-purchased. You're looking to expand by 12 acres and negotiate with the town to increase the number of allowed burials to 6,000.
Right. So we have the land. All along, we started with the first 12 acres and 12 and a half or so. But all along, the other 12 and a half acres was designated as continuing cemetery. So 3,000 we could probably fit into phase one. But we're also not only trying to put on more land, we're going to be asking for more, a higher cap. Mm-hmm. Because it's gotten so popular.
Right.
Yeah. And we're really the only one in Wisconsin, and pretty much the only one in the entire Midwest. Minnesota has tried and
couldn't pull it off.
Couldn't pull it off. Iowa just has laws that are already in place that has no, doesn't favor green burials. Illinois, same thing. And Michigan doesn't have one. So, I mean, Midwest, I'm not going to mention all the names. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, something that I'm glad you brought that up, because something that I'd always heard, because as someone who I don't want to be buried the traditional way, I've my feelings on that, and a green burial has always been intriguing, but I'd always heard that, oh, the laws, there's so many laws, and you know, whether it's a state law or a city ordinance or whatever, it just can't happen because the stranglehold and blah, blah. So I just didn't think it was very possible. And then I saw the article, and I mean, is this something that, you know, if someone say North and say Bayfield, they wanted to do it, they could also do it as well? Or is the process, you know, mainly for where you are in Madison, how the city is set up?
So basically Bayfield, yeah. If the good example, it's a local thing as mm-hmm. well as a state thing. The state thing is not going to do it. And I also want to mention that when my dad applied for it, he didn't have to say this is a green cemetery. It's a cemetery.
Yeah.
So you don't have to specify.
Why would you? Because there's no laws against it. So yeah. Okay. So he probably did mention it. I think what I said was he didn't have to mention
right,
it,
right,
but
right.
He probably did, because dad was always upfront about everything. There were no issues with the county, Dane County, with, Verona mm-hmm. Springdale. He did have some issues with neighbors.
I bet. Yeah, I'm sure.
He didn't have a lot of neighbors. If you ever, and I urge you to come visit and see the place, it's the whole piece of property is tucked into a little valley, and it's surrounded by subdivisions. You can't see them. You can't new subdivisions, because they've just started building. And our neighbors, we have one neighbor that's pretty close. We share part of the driveway, our driveway. So dad allowed another driveway. And he did that before the cemetery. So we had a neighbor move in before he started the cemetery.
Shed, we're coming up to a break. We will keep this conversation going. Shed Farley is here. We are talking about green burials. If you have questions, 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free. 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll tell you, Bill Gates, he would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call us, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Shed Farley is our guest. We are talking about green burials, and he helps with the green burial site they have in Springdale, Wisconsin, hoping to expand, allow burials up to 6,000. Right now, you can accommodate 3,000. And you've seen a lot of growing interest in this. And in the time that we have left, Shed, I just wanted to talk about some of the practicalities. If, say, my father dies and we're together in his house when he dies, I can either call 911 or a funeral home, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And because there are still procedures that have to be followed as far as the treatment of this body, right? So normally a funeral home would be the one to handle the washing and then all of the paperwork that goes along
all
with
the
it.
Paperwork.
Because there's a lot of stuff that, again, you can't just, Aunt Verna died, now let's go pluck her somewhere. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Yes. As far as I know, yes.
So when people come to you and say that they're interested in this, what kind of stories have they told you? What is their motivation? I'm curious.
There's so many different reasons. So, the biggest motivation is they don't want to be embalmed and treated like that and made up and buried in a convention, in a vault, and with a lid and
right.
All that stuff. So really they just want to go back to the earth. That's probably the biggest reason anybody does it.
And that's what happens.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah,
that's something that I would like personally, like I do not want to be buried in. That's a amazing way to put it, in a vault that's just going to take up ground. I would much rather be used in a way, if science can't take me, then put me in the ground in a way that I can help.
And as far as the ceremonies themselves, I would imagine that that's very individualistic and very much dependent upon what the family wants to do.
Entirely. So we let families do whatever they want.
There's, within reason.
I haven't hit anything. That...
Has anyone asked for a Viking funeral yet?
Yes. We have a pond. And they...
I'll tell you what. We'll put a picture of you on a little floater and we'll throw a flaming dart. There you go. There's your Viking funeral. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean... And I assume that, you know, you have people of all like religious backgrounds. I mean, I'm sure there are some who have very strict, they can't maybe partake in something like this, but people just, it sounds like almost like a community of people celebrating life together, even though they're doing it in different ceremonies.
So I'll answer your thing about, there is not a religion that I know of that would be opposed to this.
Okay.
So I get a lot of Christian people saying, I don't know if my church is going to allow this. And I say, how did Jesus get buried? He was put in a vault up and had a shroud, and that's it. So it's not a perfect analogy, because then he moved the rock and left. But that's how it happened for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
So,
because embalming didn't really start, as I understand it, until after the Civil War.
After the Civil War, or during the Civil War, when they had
to transport them such distances.
Yep. So and so it was after the Civil War that not only did we get the embalming, but money came into it. Yeah. Women used to take care of all births, all deaths,
And burials.
As soon as money comes into it, the men take over. And
don't look at me. I didn't come up with the idea. I'm just as upset as
nobody ever told me this. I just figured it out as I'm looking at the history. But it wasn't until like the mid 20th century, 40s, 50s, before people stopped thinking about anything natural and only thought there was one way to go.
Right.
Which is embalming in a vault in a
casket.
Yeah. Yep. So now it's turning around just 60 or 70 or 80 years later. That's not a very long time.
No, it's not.
So it's still in effect. I mean, there's way more conventional cemeteries than there are green burials.
But I have to think too, Shed, that that's partially because of just convenience.
Convenience.
And where these are available. Yeah. We only have a couple. We got about 4 minutes left. Some more practical questions. It has to be considerably cheaper than a traditional burial.
So it is, but not necessarily because we charge less. It's more, and we do charge less than a lot of cemeteries, but we're not the bottom. It's more that you're not going to be spending $10,000 on a casket. Yeah. You're going to maybe spend $800 is the only casket that any funeral home provides. That's same as Jewish burials and Muslim burials, because they're plain pine boxes. And both Muslims and Jews do not get embalmed. So that brings in some of the legal stuff that people have said, it's against the law not to embalm
someone.
No, not at all.
No.
In no state, in no funeral home, in no cemetery.
Wow.
So it's perfectly fine not to embalm someone.
And I'm assuming too, because it's a very natural setting, so it's not going to have... You're not going to have a headstone as a marker.
We do. We put markers, but they're not vertical.
Okay.
So our rule on markers is it has to be 216 square inches or less. And the stone itself has to be shaped by nature.
Oh, that's great.
In other words, we don't want cut, polished, shaped, other things.
Nothing with holograms on them.
Well, yeah, right. but we do allow the engraving.
So, oh, that's really nice.
So, but probably, and I don't know because I'd have to count and that'd be hard to do. Probably, I don't know, 30% of people choose to have a marker. My dad did not have a marker. My mom did not have a marker. I know where both of them are.
Sure. If people have questions, if people would like to find out more, do you have a website? How can they do that?
Our two websites, farleycenter.org. And naturalpathsanctuary.org. We're two separate
entities,
says the IRS. So so it works out well. So part of the cost of being buried at our place is a $3,000 donation to the Farley Center. That's a donation tax deductible, and then $1,500 for the burial itself. You can do the donation without being buried there.
Ah, that's good to know too. But you can't get buried there without the donation.
Oh, you just wait until I get there at night.
Well, if you would like to find out more, we will include those links in our show notes.
Yes,
and you can have a very small Viking funeral. We'll talk about that. Shed Farley, it has been so interesting. I really, really appreciate you coming in. Shed Farley is the Farley Center Director and the Coordinator for the National Path Sanctuary. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for being here, sir.
You're very welcome.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Blessed, point our rocking chairs towards the west, and plant our greens where the peaceful river flows. Whoa, where the green grass grows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Something former President Trump said during his X chat with Elon Musk, drawing fire from the United Auto Workers Union. Trump was praising Musk for not giving in to workers' demands.
Hey, I won't mention the name of the company, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay, you're all gone.
That's produced an unfair labor practices complaint from the UAW addressing the Government Employees Union in Los Angeles, Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz.
The only thing those two guys knows about working people is how to work to take advantage of them. That's what they know about it.
A grand jury in Columbus, Ohio, indicted Blendon Township police officer Connor Grubb on murder and other charges in last year's fatal shooting of Takiyah Young, a 21-year-old pregnant mother suspected of shoplifting when she attempted to drive away rather than stop to be arrested. Inflation continues to ease. The government says wholesale inflation rose just 0.1% from June to July. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. One hiccup in Wisconsin on primary election day, the first vote under new legislative maps. Voters in the Douglas County town of Summit had the wrong assembly district on their ballots. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there's nothing in state law about what happens next.
And so the county clerk, the municipal clerk, and the ballot canvassers, the chief inspectors, they're all going to have to work together in part of a public process to figure exactly what the best course of action is going to be here.
The mistake affects no more than about 700 votes. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance will campaign in Milwaukee Friday. Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris plans to rally in Milwaukee next Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nick Cannon says he would love to get back together with his first and only wife, Mariah Carey, and he told E! News they belong together. The problem? He says she doesn't want him. The couple divorced in 2016 after 8 years of marriage. Cannon is the host of several shows, including The Masked Singer. But despite a crazy busy schedule, he still found time to sire most of the children born in America over the last two decades, including two with Carey. Fans of Colin Jost's Wiki Feet page will have to wait for some new material. The SNL cast member was covering the Olympic surfing competition when he cut his foot on a coral reef and developed a staph infection, which then became an ear infection. Injury aside, the news from Tahiti wasn't all bad for Jost. While recuperating, it was announced he will host the new Jeopardy spinoff, where foot injuries are few and far between. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, a little patchy fog. Temperatures dropping to the upper 50s. At daybreak, our winds will be light. We should see mostly sunny skies Wednesday, highs in the lower 80s. Showers arriving for Wednesday night. Currently 62 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. Now, I was involved in politics for 30-plus years. I've never seen anything in the state of Wisconsin like I saw in Eau Claire last week. 2 miles away from the venue, and there were cars parked alongside the road.
It's not just cities. It's rural places and small towns and medium-sized towns. It's everything. Voters realize in this moment they have the power to shape history.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, it's been a while, but Ryan Lambert from Midwest Restoration is back in the studio with us.
And we're moving with the Melcors with Ben and Deanna Melcor. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is primary election day in Wisconsin. Get out and vote. Be a voter, baby. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be cool.
Go to myvote.wi.gov if you have questions. Mm-hmm. If you want to see the ballot before you go, there are two constitutional amendments on everyone's ballot. You're going to have different races, obviously, depending upon where you are in the state. But these two constitutional amendments, everyone will have them. Robin Voss wants you to vote yes. Therefore, I would like you to vote no.
Robin Voss wants you to vote yes. Enough said. What do you think you got to do? You got to vote no. Please.
You have until 8 o'clock tonight to cast your ballot. Please take part in our process and go be a part and be nice to the poll workers. They really deserve it.
Yeah.
And then listen at 8 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our news director, Terry Bell, and our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, will be hosting results as they start coming in. So that will be tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. If you're just joining us, you missed a great segment with Shed Farley. He is the Farley Center Director and the Coordinator for the Natural Path Sanctuary, which is a green burial site in Dane County.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gracious enough to come all the way in so he could be in studio with us.
Yeah, he's like, I want to come in. I'm like, all right.
Great.
There you go.
But it was just a really interesting conversation on the growing interest in green burials and why people are more interested. Because as he pointed out, because my father was a mortician.
Yeah.
Who started in the 40s. And everybody got embalmed. That's just what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were a Christian, I should say.
Yes.
Make that determination. But in Hartford, my dad buried the Catholics and the other funeral home buried the Lutherans. So it's not like there was a lot of, it was a hotbed of diversity. but I mean, at that point in time, everybody got buried. Everybody got embalmed.
Yeah.
That was just what you did. And that is in just over 60 years now. It's really swinging the other way. And in this article from the Cap Times, which we will put in our show notes, think about this. Nationwide, at least 800,000 gallons of embalming fluid, 30 million feet of hardwoods, and 2,700 tons of copper and bronze are buried every year. And I think because people are becoming more sustainable, and when you start looking at some of these numbers, people just don't want to do that anymore.
You said 800,000
gallons.
An Olympic-sized swimming pool holds 660,000 gallons.
A year.
Exactly. More than that. More than a pool's worth. That was the whole thing we were talking about with Shed. And by the way, if you do want to listen to the interview, you can go to civicmedia.us, click the shows tab, go to our show, Matt and Air on Air, and you can listen to those shows from the past, download them as a podcast, but you can always catch up with the interviews later on in case you miss them. I just have myself no interest in being a part of a burial that is so bad for the earth. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you lived and worked in that industry, it's more for the living than it is for you. You're dead.
Oh, it's always been.
And so, like, Bridget and I have had many discussions, because one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this too is because people don't talk about this. And there are so many people out there who lose loved ones. They're like, well, I don't know what they wanted. I didn't know if they want to be buried or cremated or.
Talk about it, people.
You know, talk about it now while you have the time.
Talk about it.
She knows that I do not want to be buried. Like, I want to be cremated, but I also love to donate my body to science. So that's not an option. Green burial, maybe, but it's got to be like, all right, you have to tell me that this will break down and will help the earth rather than harm the earth. And there will be no funeral. There will just be a party.
A celebration. As he said, you can do pretty much anything you want.
Exactly.
If you want it to be a celebration, mm-hmm. if you would like it to be, you know, a more serious and so you can essentially do this any way that you would like, which I think is very freeing.
Yes. But also makes people uncomfortable because, and I'll use this story. A friend of mine was telling me about, you know, talking to her mom about their plans, and the brother was like, well, you don't have a visitation here. She's like, well, I don't want one. I don't want to have an open. It's like, just come celebrate. It's like, no, we have to have one. I was like, why did he say this? She said, because he felt that if he didn't do that, people would be upset with them that they didn't get a chance to pay their last respects. I'm like, it doesn't matter what other people think. If your mother has this wish, in my opinion, that's the end of it. And apparently the funeral home told them, well, you can always add that on the last moment. It isn't, of course, it's an extra fee.
To have the casket open?
To have the casket in the room opened up. Yeah, it was an extra fee to have a viewing. So that's the weird stranglehold that process has on people, because essentially you're throwing a party and you want to throw a good one. And if everyone isn't satisfied, then you're going to hear about it later. Weddings and funerals. I mean, I still hear from families to this day. I've been married for almost 12 years. Still hear from family. Well, I wasn't invited to your wedding.
Oh, people.
Yeah. So I can understand the stress of that, though. And to me, green barrels seem amazing. It's like, all right, we're going to do it unorthodox way, or not unorthodox, a different way.
A different way.
And I'm going to do it my way and have at it.
Resident young person, Calvin.
Well, I have a couple maybe hot takes. I think
I'm never going to die.
I think visitations are extremely morbid. My first time I went to one, I was like 14 and I had a panic attack.
Yeah. Did you really?
The idea of people gathering around to look at a dead body really freaks me out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comfortable with it. My other thing is, I think you should respect the wishes of the person who is dying, but at the same time, they're dead. The funeral's kind of for the living. So if the living needs that or feels like they need that as part of a grieving process, the person who's dead will never know. It's kind of my thought.
Well, it depends upon if you believe in afterlife or not.
But well, and then I guess I showed my cards there.
But I'll give you an example of another situation when my grandmother died. My grandmother was very much, and when I say I don't want a funeral, I want a party. It's because I want people to be jovial. My grandmother didn't want a party because she was just no fun. And she said to my mother, no funeral, none. I do what you need to do. Put my body in the thing. She was buried in one of those wall casket type things.
Yep.
And that's it. People can come and pay their respects, but I do not want a priest. I do not want a service. Period. Well, my mom felt pressure and my mom felt weird about it. And then at one point she just finally gave in and did it. And years later, to this day, she still says, I should have never done that. She didn't want it. I didn't respect her wishes. So I don't disagree with you, Calvin. They are, in fact, dead, and I do not believe in an afterlife, so I don't believe they're going to come back and haunt you and be like, I didn't want a hot plate at my funeral. But you always live with the knowledge that you didn't respect their final wishes, and that, for me, is a big deal.
I would agree with you, Greg.
Yeah, I get both sides.
I completely understand what you're saying, Calvin, because that's all these rituals are for people to grieve and mm-hmm. move on and get past it. But I'm with Greg in that you need to abide by last wishes.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, the living are just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as far as like, I think immediate family is the only people who should be like, so if you have cousins or aunts or uncles that are pressuring you,
no,
that's the wrong reasons to do it. But
absolutely.
If you say, like, say your brother and sister live out of the state and you're like, well, we need to have a get together to process this as a family, I guess I wouldn't even consider that a funeral necessarily. So
but too, I mean, family members can view the body. It doesn't have to mm-hmm. be
yes.
during a visitation.
Yeah,
because it doesn't have to work that way.
And I think
if that's important to you.
And I think that point, Calvin, you're bringing up is a very valid reason why the family needs to understand what this person wants at the end of the day. So like, you know, my mom invited my sister and I to her planning session.
Oh, wow.
So we knew what was going on.
Good for her.
And I think, you know, in a situation like brothers and sisters, like that immediate family, that immediate family you have with children, brothers, sisters, parents, they should have the ability to view the body in private if they want to. I understand that. But yeah, pressure from uncles, aunts, cousins, or friends. I'll tell you what, you want to say, I'll hand you the bill. You get to chip in, baby. You want to see a view? You pay for the viewing if you want a viewing.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Sharky from Racine, thank you for your patience. Sharky, what do you want to say?
Well, thank you for the show and all the talents here. You just hit it out of the park every time.
Oh,
thank you, sir.
I'd like to bring this up. You betcha. I'd like to bring this up. And it's a situation, maybe I'm the only one that's seen this, but since about four and a half years ago, when you're looking through the history on our Facebook, I'm seeing these sales of, where you can, the state of Wisconsin can sponsor you. And it also showed a picture of our current governor saying, you know, try this and check that out, see if it's worthy for your burial expenses. I'm thinking, were they trying to tell us something 4 or 5 years ago?
I'm not quite sure which.
Remember seeing it,
boy Sharky. I'm not quite sure what you're referencing.
No, I don't. I mean, people can create ads however they want nowadays. I mean, there's an ad right now for Kelly Clarkson doing for a diet pill that she's gone on air saying
I don't take this.
They've used my photo and video, so I don't know what's going on there.
What was the genesis of the ad message, Sharky?
Well, it was basically saying if you know as a up to $20,000, $25,000. If we could sponsor some of this expenses through the state of Wisconsin, and I thought, and we got a picture of her. I love the governor, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of morbid. Though I lost my mother at 7,
and I'm so sorry.
Been quite the same since. You know.
I'm so
God
sorry.
Bless her. But that ad was just like wild and crazy. And I'm thinking, I wanted to give Mr. Evers a call. Say, what are you doing?
Well,
got a new side job.
We're gonna have to research this a little bit because this escaped my purview. So I will write this down and see if we can't find out more about that. Thank you so much, Sharky, for listening and for checking in. And we had a great comment on the live stream from Dave. There's a lovely YouTuber out there known as Ask a Mortician, who has been doing such a fantastic job keeping me informed about all the options, histories, and other things, info that you won't hear from the big funeral industry as opposed to a mom and pop funeral home. And that was what my dad's was.
Yeah.
That's why we grew upstairs, or we lived upstairs, and he had hoped my brothers would take it over. They both apprenticed with him for a couple of years and then decided no.
It
takes a special person to
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely. We got a text from Tyler in Columbia County. Said, my father passed away at the beginning of the pandemic. One thing that came out is that always have a will.
Yes.
Truth. Have a will or get an estate, a trust made. One
yes.
or the other. Explain it. Talk to your family about it. He said, we still have not had a funeral for him, but are trying to plan a memorial fish fry for friends and family. That's amazing. I love
yes.
that.
Sorry for your loss, Tyler.
And Dave from New Berlin makes it very simple. I don't believe in the afterlife. Throw my carcass in a landfill. It's free.
Dave.
Well, here's the thing, Dave.
Dave.
Well, I appreciate your freedomness and your and hey, let's it's another version of my body, my choice, I guess. But the there are laws.
Well, I'm sorry.
There are laws.
I mean, you can try that, Dave, but you know, eventually someone's going to be able to track where you came from.
Yeah.
And they might have an issue with you just getting tossed in a landfill in New
Someone's
Berlin.
Someone's going to come knocking on your family's like, hey, is this yours?
Did you lose him?
Yeah.
I would suggest maybe not that.
No.
Viking funeral. Get a will.
Yes.
Please, please, please.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how old you are. You need to think about it. You need to write some stuff down. So, all right. We're going to move on. Lighten things up just a little bit for our last
Chris
segment.
Casper says, well, this is depressing. Oh, you know what, Chris?
Stop it, Chris.
The truth isn't always fun and games, sir.
Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Happy Place Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to talk about minimum payments on credit cards. Now, those wily rascals at credit card companies make it pretty easy for us to pay our minimum payments. But are minimum payments good for us or good for them? Let's take the average American amount of credit card debt, $6,000, and the average APR, or interest, which is 22%. Now, if you pay that off at $200 a month, which is the general ballpark minimum payment, it's going to take more than 3.5 years and cost an extra $2,800 in interest payments. But if you ignore the minimums and pay it off at $400 a month, you'll pay your debt off 2 years faster and $1,800 cheaper. Minimum payments keep you in maximum debt. For more practical money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mm-hmm. We had last half hour, Shed Farley was here. We've been talking about green burials, and now it's turned into an hour-long discussion, which I think is great.
I love it. That's what I love, is that, you know, this is something people are connecting with. We're getting messages on the live stream. We're getting text messages, calls. What did someone – let's open up with the text message, Jane. Calvin, I've warned you. I've just warned you about what's about to happen here. Jane, go ahead.
Mike from Green Bay is listening on WGBW. And again, my father was a mortician. Mm-hmm. We lived upstairs. Yep. I had five brothers and sisters. Mike from Green Bay says, oh my God, Jane, you are the show 6 feet under. To which I reply,
oh boy.
Those people had more sex in one episode than I have had cumulatively over the course of my life. Just to clarify. So, no, I am not the living embodiment of 6 feet under by any stretch of the imagination. I should be so lucky.
And also, Kelvin came through and found out some information. We think that this is what Sharky from Racine was talking
Good job, Kelvin.
Yeah, thank you very much for finding this, Kelvin. It wasn't about burials per se, Jane. It's
the Eligibility Management Wisconsin Funeral and Cemetery AIDS Program. So the Wisconsin Funeral and Cemetery AIDS Program is for funeral, cemetery, and crematory providers. It covers service providers' expenses that aren't fully paid for by an eligible decedent's estate, family, or other resources. So that, Sharky, again, this looks like it was for providers.
Yeah.
It was for cemetery owners and funeral home owners.
It wasn't looking to pay for funerals.
No, it was helping cover costs for people who might not have been able, from what I understand, in this very cursory look that I've taken at this, mm-hmm. To help them cover the cost if a person was not able to pay the full bill.
There you go.
That's my understanding, but we'll take a closer look at this.
Okay. All right.
A closer look.
But don't get sued.
No. Right. Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
Terry Pratchett's book, novelette Pyramids, based on his Discworld series, and their death is an actual character that kind of separates the soul from the body. But in this pyramids, in this kingdom, in this pyramids, that all the dead are kind of left hanging in between because of the funeral practices that they're using, stuck in between. And because they've been spending so much on funerals, burying all the treasure with their various pharaohs and high functionaries and whoever, all this treasure is buried with them and not going anyplace. And the dead are still, because of the some kind of machine that they have, pyramids that they have, that these pyramids are actually channeling power and keeping them between life and death, and that it is just kind of, I think he's trying to point out the whole ridiculousness of, you know, spending so much on a funeral, because the latest pharaoh, that when he dies, he says, just bury me at sea. It's just a waste of money to, you know, build a big pyramid for me.
It's a it's a big investment.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify what Mark was talking about, because the beginning of his call got cut off. He was talking about a fantasy book by Terry Pratchett in the Discworld series.
Oh,
I haven't actually read it, but it sounds like this is an examination of...
of current burial practices.
Of current burial practices.
Interesting. Llama from Madison listening on WMDX on the text line. I told my kids I want to be flushed like a goldfish.
Quick follow-up, Llama. how big is your toilet?
You're going to need a larger one, I think, than you think.
And also, still illegal.
Yeah, check the filter.
Yeah. Check the filter? long-time listener, long-time friend, Caitlin McCarthy, my friend, said HBO documentary alternate ending shows. It's a alternate funeral option. So natural green burial, mixing ashes and artificial coral to help rebuild reefs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like that
shooting
idea.
Ashes into space, celebration of life before and after death, and legal euthanasia. So that show is alternate endings. And those are, honestly, I mean, the whole assisted suicide thing is probably a two-hour discussion with doctors and ethicists. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, talking about the notion of everyone got embalmed because that's what you did. What if you sat people in silence and said, here are your options on how you can celebrate this? Do you want to be buried? Okay, fine, you can be buried. Do you want this? Do you want that? What do you want?
Well, and I think, but now it's going to be incumbent on people Calvin's age.
Yeah.
And you know, in their 30s and stuff to start having these discussions amongst themselves about what they want to have happen. And if you look over at this article that we'll include in the show notes from the Cap Times, I mean, what was it? It's 800,000 gallons of embalming fluid on every year.
Every year.
That we're burying into the earth.
And wood and copper wiring and silver and all this.
And bronze and all these things.
And fabrics.
Yes.
I mean, it is just, it's not good for the earth.
And just as the daughter of a mortician,
mm-hmm.
I understand the temptation. Do not bury jewelry with your loved one.
No. No.
It's like, I want him to take it with him.
No.
My father saw this too many times over the years where people came to regret that decision.
Take that jewelry, take those mementos, pass them on to family who love them.
Absolutely.
Let them have a little piece of them and say, I want you to remember this person. Take this. And, or, I mean, if it's jewelry, sometimes we put it in a safe deposit box and protect it. I mean, those are bigger conversations. And as we said before, sit down with your loved
talk
ones
about it
and make a plan.
Talk about it.
Make a plan to vote and make a plan to get buried.
Look at you.
Thank you.
It is primary day
heck
in
yeah.
Wisconsin. Keep on voting, my friends. Sherry from Horicon checked in. She said she has already voted. Thank you for that. We know you will vote. Let's go be voters. Be a voter, baby. Everybody wants to be a voter. I'll be voting no on those two constitutional amendments. Robin Voss wants you to vote yes, so just keep that in the back of your mind. News is coming up next. Thank you so much, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thanks to you, most of all, for calling and listening and for texting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Like I said, news followed by Todd Alba. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. If you have a question for the doctor, just send it to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.